Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy. Delighted to welcome you all to today's edition of All Sides Weekend, where we talk about the arts. And we have a subtitle for this program, Cheap Seats, which didn't exactly endear me to my three guests, but they're game and they're going to talk all about it. They are. And by the way, just before we went on the air, two of my guests told me they were in a mood. So this could mean anything. I advise you all to fasten your seatbelts. Tim Veach is the artistic director and founder of the Columbus Dance Theater. Rich Corsi is vice president of marketing for Kappa. He's the normal one. And Stephen Anderson is the artistic director, general director, and star of...
Producing
director of Catco Phoenix, or did you change it
just
again?
Just Catco.
Catco. Just Catco, downtown, which opens tonight a new production of Steel Magnolias. And... so I'm going to say, what do you mean a play of Steel Magnolias? That's a movie with Sally Field. What are you talking about?
No. It was first a lovely play that about 20 years ago, and we're reviving it. And those who love the movie should come and see the play because it's really a very different experience.
It's different, and it's very much more powerful when you're sitting right there. So that opens tonight and runs...
tonight, yeah. We had two previews, and people are just, you know, both rolling in the aisles and pulling out their Kleenex. So.
Okay, then. We'll leave Kleenex at the front door for everybody. And then Tim Veach, when I told Tim Veach at the Columbus Dance Theater that we're talking about accessibility today, which I, in my impolite way, call cheap seats, informed me that he's here today to talk about his benefits. So why don't
Our
you
one
go-
time of the year we don't have a cheap seat.
Go ahead.
Well, usually we have cheap seats. We just did a program, the Columbus Dances Fellowship Program with the Greater Columbus Arts Council, where the seats were free to the public at our theater down at the Fisher Theater. What's coming up is Pleasure with Pain, spelled P-A-Y-N-E.
Why?
Why would we call it that? We bring in a fabulous cabaret entertainer, Catherine Payne. She comes in every year for us, and does a program usually called 10 Cents a Dance, and we're doing a brand new program this year. It's going to be done at NPAC at Northland Performing Arts Center. We've never done a program there. I'm very excited about it because you're going to be able to have food at tables around the stage while the event is happening. It's going to be great. And so it's an evening of her singing and playing, her humor, her comedy, and then 10 dances that I have choreographed for the company, laced all through it with incredible food from vendors all over Columbus, who I can name, if you'd like to know, Metro Cuisine and G. Michaels.
No, that's fine.
Et cetera,
thank you very much. Let's talk about the actual program.
Sure.
What it costs, why you do a benefit once a year, what's the purpose, what is the hopeful net,
right?
You know, sell me.
Okay. Well, the cost is $100. Now, think about it. A show. And dinner.
Dinner and a show.
Dinner and a show. $100, really?
Go to the movies sometime.
Exactly.
Buy popcorn.
Buy popcorn. That's true, yes.
I swear, family of six at the movies, that's $100
in
popcorn.
$100, yeah.
So, really, it's a very economical benefit to attend. And, of course, we try to raise further funds at it. But like every arts organization, we're always
Do you do that thing where
together.
You take the coats and then they have to pay to get them back?
Absolutely. Good. We take their car keys, too. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. So, oh, no, don't be afraid. Really, we won't. Yeah, you're right. We were in a mood. It really and truly, and Stephen can talk about this, arts organizations must raise money. That's part of what we do. We're not-for-profit entities, and we're always closing the gap, and everybody has an annual fundraiser.
Even if you're the artistic director, that's still the first line in your job description, I would think.
It is a major bold-faced part of your job.
Okay.
We were just sitting in the lobby, going through our cell phones, looking at grant apps and things.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what you do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about this new, we've had a couple of people on recently who were producing concerts, very good concerts that get big crowds, but they say, we don't charge anything. You know, just come. They aren't even have tickets. There are no tickets. Just show up. And, you know, people do, but they pass the hat.
Uh-huh.
And they come up with pretty much what you would net, I would think, if you priced them to scale. And I know there's a couple of groups that pay what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Hopefully they shame people into paying, you know.
I always tell them they should say, pay what you ought to.
Oh, that's good. Yeah,
right.
I like that a lot.
Right.
Is that a new model that's working, or is that something we want to get away from, avoid?
I don't know if it works or doesn't work. Okay. I think that we do have an obligation to make sure that nobody doesn't have access. You know, that there should never be, I can't afford it as an appropriate reason for not coming.
Absolutely. That's absolutely true. And at the same time, arts organizations have to structure budgets. They have to run like businesses now. You know, the days
of
they are businesses. And so the days of just rolling along and hoping that people will donate money, you know, that's an old model. You have to demonstrate fiscal integrity. And so part of that is tickets. Now, like Stephen said, you know, we have discounted tickets for seniors and we have discounted tickets for students and we do free ticket things as well. So I think every organization in the city is working really hard in that direction and at the same time trying to balance their own budgets.
Stephen just said it brilliantly. Nobody should be turned away because they can't afford it. I mean, a dollar or something. But, you know, I use the term cheap seats kind of facetiously because I am aware that all of you go out of your way to make things available, probably out of your own pocketbooks to do that. But I just wanted to sort of really expand the pool. I want to see more people. I want to see more younger people. I want to see more atypical audiences become typical audiences, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There was an initiative a couple of years ago done by PNC Bank that pumped a lot of money into the arts in the community for accessibility. And I've asked Rich Corsi to sort of give us a little history lesson about that and where it is now.
Okay, well, back in 2011, PNC came together with Kappa, and we had a discussion about bringing PNC Arts Alive to the table. It's a program where folks ages 13 to 25 can buy a $5 ticket to many, many, many different events, anywhere from the symphony to CATCO, chamber music, jazz arts group, Kappa presentations, and it's gone really, really well. PNC has moved on and gone on to fund other series and sponsor events with Kappa. We decided to go ahead and continue this program because it's been so successful. We offer up anywhere from 6 to sometimes 100 tickets per event, depending what the event is. A lot of times they sell out. We get a lot of good feedback from folks. It's very simple to do. You can come into the box office. You can go online. I mean, you're buying a $65, $70 ticket for $5. That's a pretty good savings.
So it's like a click away, literally, if you know about it, or just easy online, or you can walk into your ticket office in the Ohio Theater. And if you are a student or a younger person and can prove it, you are eligible for $5 off. And many, many theaters all over the world are doing this now because there's nothing worse than an empty seat. And if it's right. going to take a little bit less to put a butt in that seat, then that's what we have to do. Now, I want to really do not want to neglect the fact that there are wonderful people, generous people who go to these things and pay full price and do so because they love the art form and they love the actual company.
Right. Or they love the fact that they're going to be on the first Friday, they have a seat and it's going to be the same seat and they like to plan their lives out. There's a whole other group of people who can plan ahead 5, 6, 8, 10 weeks and are willing to do that for a cheaper seat.
That was the model up until about 20 years ago, subscriptions that you sold. You sold, if you wanted to see the play Romeo and Juliet, you saw the other 5 plays as well. And I think that model has pretty much become history by now. But when it was good, it was very good. It worked really well.
It's not history. It's just that it's one piece of the business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's always going to be a group of people who want to belong.
Our subscribers actually went way up last year.
Really? Good for you.
Yeah. I mean, that's something we've kind of diligently worked at. I do think it's just one part of the puzzle. You know, the other thing that I'm thinking about is there are certain foundations and things in town that we've partnered with to be able to give seats to youth, to children. And in particular, like we have a production coming up May 30 and 31, a new version of Oliver Twist that I'm doing set to the music of RJD2. So it's going to be pretty hip. And that the Puffin Foundation has given us a grant that's going to enable us to bring children from the shelter houses of Columbus and bring them in, and they pay nothing, and they get to experience the piece. And that they did that for us for Match Girl as well. So there are entities in town that are also partnering with arts organizations to make sure that accessibility is a big key to what's going on.
I don't know how this would work, but it seems to me that we need an organization that would do the follow-up when you bring the children in and they see the thing for the first time, and they go back to where they were, which is kind of probably depressing and not good for them. To do some kind of a follow-up whereby they can engage the light going on in your audiences. I'm not laying that on the responsibility of the companies because you're already overextended, but I'm throwing that idea out there. There's got to be an MSW program that would do that somewhere.
We got great feedback from our match from we did Rock Out a year ago, and we had kids from the shelter houses were brought in by Puffin, and we had wonderful feedback from the kids. They wrote stuff, and they sent us drawings, and they did all this cool stuff. And then the people who brought them, the people from the shelter houses, just said it was a really transformational thing.
Rich, I want to go back to you a little bit. PNC, I guess they're no longer available.
They started their program back in 2011.
With a lot of, like $5 million, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a lot
of
money.
It was spread out everywhere, but this was one of the programs that went with it. And again, it was a three-year term that we did. But like I said, the success we had with it was great. We do a lot with Kappa on our educational series. We've got a sponsorship from Honda, and we try to hit more of the elementary kids with that. And we do incredible stuff at the Lincoln and at the Southern. Yeah. And then that kind of morphs into this when the kids start turning into teenagers and they start hitting 13 to 15 to 17. So we wanted to get that so we have it. You've always got to be out there and you've got to attract young audiences. You know, when you see a bus pull up and it's 6- and 7-year-olds, those are your future buyers. And we take that seriously. So we've developed relationships with Fifth Avenue and Highland and schools like that where we get the kids on a regular basis to come into the venue and to see stuff. We're, you know.
You get the kids, but then you were talking about, like, we're getting onto date night now, okay? Older teenagers, things like that. How did you know or what made you think that this was necessary, the kind of discounted ticket program that PNC offered or made available the funds for? How did you guys decide, oh, we have to do this? Was there some light bulb moment?
You know, I mean, we've always wanted to attract younger audiences. And like I said, once this program came in 3 years ago, our education program started about 3 years ago, we're constantly trying to be in the face of students, young folks. Even when we it used to be a 13 to 18-year-old program, and we stretched it to 25. We found, you know, once folks get out of college, there's not a lot of money to just sitting around the house to come spend $70 on a show.
No.
So we thought it would be a good thing to try to continue that from elementary to middle school to high school to college. And, I mean, these are great programs that we have and we offer.
They are indeed, and I happen to know because I've seen people waiting in line for them that they're very, very successful. We're going to take a break briefly and come back and ask for your phone calls. If you'd like to join the conversation, don't go away. I'm Christopher Purdy. We're back with today's arts panel, and I've got nuclear energy right here, never mind anybody else, with Tim Veach of the Columbus Dance Theater, Rich Corsi, who is VP of Programming for Kappa, and Steven Anderson, who is the producing director of CatGo. And I want to you talked a bit about your benefit, Tim, to Columbus Dance Theater, and you brought us some music. What'd you bring us?
I brought you just some selections of Catherine's music from 10 Cents a Dance, which is a show we've done for a long time.
This is the pain part of Pleasure and Pain?
This is the pain part of Pleasure and Pain. Catherine played in Chicago for decades.
The show or the city? Or both?
I'd love to see her in Chicago. She'd be amazing. No, the city. And she's back. She's actually from Ohio originally. She's back helping out with her mom, who's gotten a little older. And so now she's playing in Cleveland and Canton, which is kind of convenient. She's a little closer. We're bringing her down more to get ready for this show, which is all new music. So the music you're hearing is actually from our other show, but it's Catherine playing.
And it's Catherine doing it, and the show is
Pleasure with Pain. This show is 10 Cents a Dance.
What's the date?
The date is April 12th at NPAC, and you want to call 849-0227 for
tickets. Let's hear from Catherine.
No one to walk with all by myself. No one to talk with. I'm happy being on the shelf. Ain't misbehaving. I'm saving my love for you. Certain the one I love. I'm through with flirting. It's you that I've been thinking of.
I'm too old to misbehave, but I'm glad she is. That's Catherine Payne.
Catherine Payne,
We'll be with you April 12th, the benefit 12th. For the Columbus Dance Theater.
Correct.
Terrific. Stephen, you were saying something very interesting about a changing business model for CatGo, and this dovetails nicely into making tickets really widely available.
Yeah, we call it CATCO Always, and it essentially means that there is always something performing at CATCO. In the old days, people would say, does CATCO have a show today? And now it's what's playing at CATCO. So, and that we've achieved that through our cabaret program, which started with Forbidden Broadway, which ran for 11 weeks. And then we're in I Love You, You're Perfect Now, Change.
What is that? Describe that.
It's a musical review about relationships.
Really?
Yeah, really, as if you couldn't tell. And it is really funny. It's a great date night thing. We've just extended that to the 13th of April. It's been sold out, and people are loving it. And we'll always be having, so we have a regular subscription season. And I was discussing this with a patron last night. He says, why isn't this on my subscription? And I said, well, it's not a subscription. It's a whole other life that runs, and we just run them like a regular Broadway show.
Yeah. And then Steel Magnolias coming up.
It's tonight.
Okay. That opens tonight, right?
Yeah, and it has a special place in my heart because it was actually the last production that was performed at Players Theater on Franklin Avenue. Hmm. And I was there to close the door after it was over.
Turn the lights off.
The wonderful
Mary
Kathleen
Tyler Moore.
Nolan played Malin in that production. And she was president of the Screen Actors Guild. She was actually the first Wendy in Peter Pan.
She was, wasn't she the daughter in The Real McCoys?
She was, yes.
Yes.
She
Walter
Brennan.
In Cass,
the
room, Kate,
of course.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, yes.
So she was a wonderful lady and did a wonderful Malin. Our Malin, Sarah Behrens, hasn't been on the stage for well over a decade. She's a pediatrician now. She left acting.
Oh. And is pediatrician. Her parents are thrilled.
Wife. Robert Behrens' wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
she's terrific.
She's wonderful.
She's
and it's an incredible ensemble.
Now, you have a children's theater as well. So let's talk about that and your programming for that and who comes to those performances.
Right. Well, we do those performances for the schools. We also do some children performing for children. Dorothea and the Wizard of Oz is coming up. Just had auditions for that. In fact, talking about always having something going on at CATCO, a couple of weekends ago, we actually had 14 events, which were, you know, between shows and auditions, and that wasn't counting the rehearsals that were going on. So we have a regular subscription season of shows and school matinees for those as well. And then there's also the summer camps that are coming right up. And we do those at 9 sites, including at the Lincoln Theater and in Dublin and at the Rife Center and at CPAC on 549 Franklin Avenue.
It's a good thing you get up at 4 in the morning, I must say. I mean, he called me one day and said, let's have breakfast if you can get here at 5:30. We didn't have breakfast. Anyway, I'm Christopher Purdy, and we're talking about the arts, accessibility, and all kinds of wonderful things with Tim Veach of the Columbus Dance Theater, Rich Corsi from Kappa, and Stephen Anderson from CATCO. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 292-8513. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org, 292-8513, if you want to talk to these three great mavens of the arts. Rich Corsi, Vice President of Programming, I have a picture in my mind of almost being a science, that you sit there with availabilities for the next 3 years and financial projections, and you make a stew of what's going to work in Columbus, Ohio. How am I doing?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it, you know, and especially like we're blessed to be able to have really, really good contact with folks who come to the theater, patrons, schools, et cetera. I've been at Kappa over 24 years. I've met a lot of people. I've got a lot of good connects. One thing we pride ourselves with the summer movies and all kinds of events we do, and the education series is a good thing also, is we talk to people. We go to the schools, we talk to the schools, Columbus Public, Hilliard, whoever, and we kind of ask, what is it are you interested in? We got a lot of great feedback last year. We brought in a show called Kid Power. It was a nutrition thing. Kids went absolutely nuts. Probably went home and ate every piece of fruit in the house because now it's cool to eat fruit, you know. So we actually, you know, we try to talk with a lot of the teachers, the principals, the administrators, and find out what it is, science, math, whatever it is kids are struggling with, and we're able to bring that programming to them, get them into the theater, make it fun. We get so many responses, so many letters from the kids, from the classes that come, that just love it. I mean, you know, so it works out really, really well for us.
And that could also be their point of entry to live performances.
Yeah, I mean, another thing that we kind of toss into the mix is when we book our touring artists that we have come in, musicians and dancers, et cetera, every single person I book, I ask if we can do an education piece, whether it's with Diavolo doing master classes in dance with elementary kids up to high school, T.S. Monk going into a middle school and playing drums with 30 kids, anything we can get our hands on to get artists into the schools, get those students exposed, it's great. It's a win-win for everybody. And you would be amazed how many artists out there love doing that.
I bet they do.
It's the hustle and bustle. You're on a bus. You're city to city. You get at least an hour to just hang out and see your stuff still matters to youngsters.
And little kids give you direct feedback.
Oh, yeah.
They don't like it or they don't like it. And they don't have that, thank goodness, filter that some adults, not all, have. That I think that kind of is refreshing feedback. We have an email from Gina, and I think she makes a great point. She says, I think there's an untapped market for Wednesday afternoon events. Maybe membership required. This was recently demonstrated at the Columbus Museum of Art. I know, Stephen, you do have...
We do meetings. Wednesday mornings,
you
11
do,
at 11.
11 a.m., yeah. You have a real... Tell me about that.
11 at 11 is an $11 ticket at 11 o'clock on Wednesdays, and they are just incredibly popular. Just sold out all the time. But Rich was actually making a really important point about the sort of new model for working together to create educational programs. And it used to be you'd say... Here it is, here it is on the plate. Eat it. It's and there's a lot more collaborative work with educators and arts organizations.
Correction: the email said I should wear my glasses and I don't. weekday afternoons event, not just Wednesday, but weekdays. Afternoon events.
Right.
I thank you for that correction. Kappa has all kinds of things going on in how many different theaters that aren't restricted to 8 p.m. of an evening?
Yeah, I mean, any chance we have. I mean, you'll see more of the weekday matinees with the Broadway stuff. Like Phantom was just here. They had a couple Thursday matinees at 1 o'clock. We struggled a while ago with the summer movies. We used to show a Wednesday at 1 o'clock, and it just got to the point there were 30, 40 people.
Nobody
there.
Okay.
So we kind of phased that out probably a good 7 or 8 years ago. But, you know, our attendance, we like to show matinees on the weekends. Weekdays are a little tough depending on what's touring. If we have the opportunity, we'll do it in a heartbeat. But with the contracts that we have with the artists, we're kind of stuck and bound by that.
Yeah, it's hard to do a Wednesday evening of really anything. It's been done. You can do it. But some people have different requirements. But back to the sort of formula of programming for Kappa. You have how many theaters now? A lot, yeah.
I guess 9 or 10.
Yeah, a lot of 10.
I think about 10 spaces,
P.S., yeah. I think it's great if you have a little kid whose first sight of the interior of a theater is the Lincoln or something. I think that's really wonderful thing, that's the first time they've been to the theater. Do you take me back to the meeting where you decide what you're going to present in all these theaters in the coming year? First of all, how much lead time do you need?
Well, we're pretty much firming up a lot of this stuff. We've just finished up with some symphony programs. We're working on finishing up on the McCoy stuff. We're finishing up on the movie series. So that stuff is all pretty much done now. Now I'll start the process with the Kappa programming. The Kappa programming are, you know, artists from, you know, T.S. Monk to, like I said, Diavolo and B.B. King and Dave Koz. And that's just a matter of getting with agents and having conversations with them. The one big plus for us is we are so central when you look at the surrounding cities like Pittsburgh, Detroit, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Indy. We're in a great pocket. So anybody going from Pittsburgh to Indy wants to stop in Columbus. So on top of our season, after we get that plan, we get calls weekly, if not a couple times a week, from artists that say, hey, we're driving from Cleveland to Cincinnati. Do you have this day open? And it helps us. We get a better fee because we're filling a night. It's either that or the artist sits in a hotel.
Right,
and they don't get paid anything.
And they'd prefer to work. I mean, you'd prefer to have a full theater there. The number again is 292-8513 if you'd like to join the conversation. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. And we have a call from Pat. Hello, Pat.
Hi. I am a retired teacher. I'll admit that first. So I'm not really current with what's happening in the schools. But when I was teaching, the challenges of taking my class to... on a field trip to an arts performance had to do with, one, the time it was offered. It had to be concluded before lunch, that kind of thing, and also the transportation. And I know of at least one group at the time that was offering to fund the bus that would take to bring the students to the venue, and I just wondered if if anything like that is happening now. And I'll hang up and take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Thanks so much for the question. Rich, you had
a... Yeah, we actually, with our education series, we basically charge $5 a ticket for the performance. A lot of times, busing is a huge issue for anybody. We will work with folks. If we have it in our budget, we have no problems with getting the busing for students to come in. So we've actually been able to work with some group, you know, some schools that have busing, easy to access. But once you get into that afternoon, it's very, very hard because the buses need to be back by a certain time to pick up the kids. But we have on occasion actually paid for the busing for kids to come in. It's great.
One of the things that we're doing now, we have a school as well as a company, and we have pretty wonderful advanced level professional training students. And we take them in the spring to schools around the region, and we do performances. We're going to be doing some of that in May with our students. And that's awesome because the kids love to see other kids doing the art form and actually taking it to the schools. And we offer it as a free service. We just take the kids out in our school and they perform for other students.
And you have the word theater in the company name, Columbus Dance Theater.
Yes,
which
do.
Really, I think, kind of separates you out in a wonderful way. I'm sure that was deliberate. Yeah. When you're programming, since a lot of your is original work, is it not?
Great deal of the programming is original work.
So what do you have in mind as you create a new dance?
What interests me artistically in the moment? Often it has to do with sometimes politics, sometimes life, usually kind of big subjects. I'm also interested in music, deeply, deeply interested in music, and collaborate a lot with Carpe Diem String Quartet and Karin Fujiwara and Charles Weatherby as composers. I get a lot of my energy as a creative artist from other artists. And through conversation about what are you interested in? What are you reading? What are you doing? Who are you talking to? And then that often generates ideas for me in terms of what I want to create as a creative individual.
Do you get up at 4 a.m. to talk to Stephen Anderson?
Yes. Facebook sometimes. But, but yeah, we're probably up at the same. I think the artistic directors have this get up early
because
your brain kicks on because, you know, your day is packed. I mean, it's awesome. It's great work. It's amazing work, but it's full.
But there's literally not enough hours in the day. Here's an email from Sarah who says, I know the Book of Mormon is coming here soon. I wish it would be here longer because I'm having trouble finding a date to attend. Also, I really wish the tickets were more affordable. Discuss.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Mormon coming in. We were very, very excited. Bill Connor, our CEO at Kappa, handles all the Broadway programming, and Bill really, really went out there.
Huge hit.
Yeah.
Huge hit.
I mean, he went out there and said, Columbus needs to have this. If they would have said they could come in for a day, we would have been happy just to get that in Columbus. We've got a couple weeks coming up in May. When you're talking about big tours like Book of Mormon, Lion King, Wicked, you don't basically request when you want them to come. They tell you, hey, we have this time. You know, we're very thankful. The economic impact on shows that like those that come into Columbus, it's just staggering.
2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is huge for that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also, I'm sure, have financial requirements in terms of minimums and things like that that speaks to ticket prices and things like that. They either, you know, it costs what it costs sometimes.
Right. Yeah. I'll take Rich off the hot spot here because, it's an expensive endeavor.
It's a very expensive endeavor, right. There's no such thing as a cheap touring production,
really,
either for the artists or for the presenters.
Yeah, right. And it's interesting because it felt like years ago, you know, we've always had good Broadway coming through Columbus, but since we've had Bill kind of stepping up and reaching out there for shows, we're getting a lot of really, really good shows early on.
Yeah,
you know, Book of Mormon coming out. We got Once coming, you know, next year.
Yeah, Once is wonderful.
Yeah.
That's a great, beautiful show.
I mean,
show.
Normally you wouldn't see that, but we're, you know, Bill is out there fighting, you know, with folks saying, you need to put this in Columbus, and we've had great success with it, so.
You've all three made the point of Columbus having a great location because it's now a go-to city, but it is still on the way. It's between Chicago and New York and everything else, so it's a great, people want to come here. It makes all kinds of sense for people to come to Columbus. We have a call from Chris in Columbus. Hello, Chris.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple of years ago, I saw like A Midsummer Night's Dream, and it was like done in a bunch of different languages in Columbus, and it was like really abstract. It was really well done. And, like, it, you know, I like the weird stuff. I like the Ginsberg poetry. You know, I'm a big Sarah Kane playwright fan and stuff like that. And as far as like the direction of theater in Columbus, particularly with obviously your company, do you see like yourself starting to like see success, see like a sort of revival or renaissance in the interest, so you're able to like branch out? Or because like for a lot of people, I feel like going to see live theater, especially like I'm in that sort of millennial, you know, 20 to 30 age group where a lot of us don't go to theater because we kind of know what to expect, if that makes sense.
I don't think you do. I really don't think you do anymore. Stay tuned. Stephen Anderson, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. And I think that what's happening in Columbus right now is that CATCO's trying to sort of claim the sort
you.
Of center of the... Yeah, well, there's more than people than me at CATCO. But we're trying to claim the sort of center so that there's a strong theatrical tradition here so that alternative theater can exist, like Available Light and Evolution, that are doing those plays that it sounds like you're really interested in doing. We got a lot of overhead, and so we need to make sure that we're putting, as we say, butts in seats.
Well, one thing I'd like to say to that is, at Columbus Dance Theater, I've committed to new work, work that is collaborative, work that is fresh, and trying daring things, and like the Camille Claudel thing we just did, was a combining of theater and dance and act, you know, music and poetry and visual images and art and a real confluence of things coming together. And I think that's one of the really wonderful things about what we're trying to do. And it's not an easy thing, but it lies on the edge more of what I think the caller is talking about, which is trying to do something with a kind of new perspective. And that can take many forms.
pardon me. Ryan in Clintonville has sent us an email. Are there any good theaters or shows for preschool-age kids, 2 to 6 years old?
I have Sesame Street Live this weekend at the
Do
Palace Theater.
Really?
Is that a plant? Are you a plant?
Is that a plant, Ryan?
I had to slip Christopher a five for that one.
Who's coming to Sesame Street Live?
Yeah.
Kermit?
Elmo, Fozzie, all the... Not Fozzie, he's a Muppet, but... Big Bird, all the
Ernie
all the characters
Bert,
are there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
so
this
it's
weekend.
Sesame Street Live. Yeah, it's all weekend. It's all day Saturday and Sunday at the Palace Theater.
And bring the kids,
yes.
Especially.
And
yes.
In particular, next season we'll be doing Go Dog Go, which is a movement piece that I think would be perfect for that age group.
Also, your children's programs, are they geared to very young children for the audience?
Some of them are.
Uh-huh.
Some of them are, and it's pretty clear on the website.
Right.
CATCO is theater.org.
Okay. And Sue and Hilliard, what about making performances available inexpensively for seniors? We thoroughly enjoyed Madame Butterfly, Opera Columbus at the Southern for $15, but haven't seen many other opportunities for deeply discounted matinees. You're missing a huge and highly receptive market. I know the Symphony does that. I know several people that have the...
And I'll say again, 11 at 11,
right.
It's $11. We beat the opera by $4.
You did, yes. So I think there's pretty much a great deal going on. Is there one place people can find out?
This brings up a whole other subject, and I was talking to GCAC about it, about trying to unify our marketing in the city around a central point, like a compass point of how maybe a way that people can go to one place to find everybody.
There are three or four one places now. That's what gets...
That's the hard thing. Mm-hmm. Right.
We got to take a little break and come back, and then we'll finish that thought, Tim Veach, and then we'll do a summing up. Right back. We're back for our final segment on today's discussion of the arts and culture in Central Ohio with Tim Veach of the Columbus Dance Theater, Stephen Anderson from CATCO, and CAPAZ, Rich Corsi, Vice President of Programming. And I'm learning a lot from today's conversation, I must say, about what has to go into bringing performances to Columbus or creating them in Columbus. And my representatives in this room do both, frankly. Let's talk a little bit about collaboration. I know that there's a production of the opera Carmen coming up that's a collaboration between Opera Columbus and the Symphony. And I know that you, Tim Veach, at the Columbus Dance Theater, collaborates with Carpe Diem and a lot with music and things like that.
Yeah, I work a lot with musicians in town. And I actually sing at First Community Church for Ron Jenkins. And there is a program coming up on June 1st with pretty much the whole Columbus Symphony. It's members of the symphony orchestra with the choir, 70 members, and they bring in our dance company to do a program called Morning Song, which is usually Americana-based music, but done during church service. And it's really pretty special, amazing music, and it's a great thing for us to dance on that program. And we've done it for many, many years, and it was actually my introduction to the church many years ago, was him bringing, Ron bringing the company
in. That's a wonderful thing, I think, combining dance with liturgy. I think no matter where you attend,
it's really beautiful, yeah. And it's free, of course, yes, because it's church.
Right.
So, you know, it's at First Community Church, North Campus, 9:15 and 11 on June 1st.
And we'll hear more about that as the date approaches.
Sure.
Rich Corsi.
Yeah, and I'm glad you touched on the collaboration piece there, because there's nothing better for, I'll speak for me at Kappa, is seeing resident arts groups collaborate.
I was going to ask if that made work for you.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean,
not we mean made more work for
no,
you.
We have the venues available. What works for us is it's great. I mean, I've been the liaison between Kappa and resident groups forever. We have amazing resident groups, theater companies, dance companies throughout this city. And to see collaborations between two companies is a great thing. You take it, you double the marketing, you get incredible marketing staffs on each side that can go out there and hit it from every single angle, like you mentioned with the symphony and the opera. It is great to see that. And you know, it always feels like those collaborations really work out.
The other thing in this area, there are all these wonderful university programs around. And we have a really wonderful collaboration with Ohio Wesleyan University this last year with our production of Match Girl. Jason Heaster brought their whole choir in, and we had live orchestra, full choir. And that was done through collaboration with a university. And I think that's another thing that I think in the arts sector and community, we need to constantly be reminding ourselves of is those connections to the university communities, which are huge in this region.
This
huge.
Is a really, really smart community. We have, you know, well, I mean, you start naming off the institutions of higher learning.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll be working with Columbus State Community College next year with their drama program for The Jungle Book, one of our Cat Quiz Kids productions.
Okay.
So,
and I think dance, you know, this town, one probably doesn't think it as a dance capital, but Columbus supports not only two terrific professional dance companies, yours and Ballet Met, but Ohio State's dance program has a worldwide reputation. And there's enough work for everybody, apparently, because you're all going full stop out.
It's very exciting. I mean, when my wife and I moved here from New York City, we came here for me to get my master's at Ohio State in the dance department. And part of that decision, though, was made because I knew of the reputation of this region of Columbus for dance. And it was deeper than just the university, and the university was also so strong. So I think that's something that people in this community, in a weird way, sort of take for granted. They see all this dance stuff all the time. I'll tell you, in other communities, it's just not there.
And you're all different.
And
I mean,
very different.
You're all,
right.
You know, your apples, oranges, different, but wonderful,
exactly.
Both.
Right.
Columbus Dance Theater, I think, is a little different than Ballet Met, and
I mean, I love them.
But
of course. Yeah, Ballet Met's terrific. But we are smaller, more contemporary company, and emphasizing new forward sort of work.
Rich, are these collaborations between our local organizations cost effective for them?
I would think so, yeah. Like I said, I mean, you're bringing on a collaboration like that, the marketing, the PR, everything basically comes together. You're getting two things for the price of one. I mean, normally you just market your show, but when you have two sides marketing, yeah, I mean, I think it's very beneficial for that.
Bill Connor, the CEO of Kappa, said a very astute thing, and I've been checking this out, and he's right. A few months ago, he said, we decided to allow food and drink into some of the theaters during the performances because people were like, it contributes to getting rid of the sort of clenched cheeks, strict, sitting there in the dark, paying attention kind of demeanor that I think turns a lot of people off.
What you want is when you have a patron come into your theater, you do all that marketing to get that patron there. They come in. The last thing you want to do is tell them something they can't do. So you try to make it, you know, great for the customer. And again, we listen to so many folks. We're very open. We answer our phones. We get a ton of emails. We get a lot of feedback from folks.
You do. I mean, you are.
I mean, yeah, and it's great. And I mean, something that seems that simple, well, why don't you just allow it? Well, we've got a lot of money invested in that theater. Those are not cheap seats. Mm-mm. You know, we've got cleaning staff. We've got carpet. people don't think of that.
They're big buildings. They're very hard buildings to run and manage, I would think. You also have a collaboration coming up. I know Opera Columbus and CATCO are going to share in something next season?
Yes. Masterclass, Terrence McNally's play. And the benefit is that Columbus has a tendency to segment itself and say, I'm a dance person, or I'm a dance and visual arts person, or I'm a symphony and opera person, or I'm a theater person. I don't really care about those other things. And so when we cross-pollinate this way and do a play about Callas, you know, for goodness sake, I mean, the opera audience is going to be really interested.
You're talking about Maria Callas, late Maria, the soprano Maria Callas. She's the character in this play, is that
she
right?
She is. It's okay. In fact, the premise is that she's giving a masterclass to three aspiring students. And though she gives them a little bit of mostly she just goes into her life and into her head. And I'm told by a dear friend who actually went to those, who happens to be sitting across from me.
He must be 90. God.
No, he went as a high school student, skipped school. Apparently.
I did.
That's exactly what those classes were like. So we're very excited about it.
I think that's going to be a great. So they'll supply the three singers for you, Opera Columbus.
We're working that way, yes.
Okay, very good. 292-8513. We have a few minutes left if you'd like to talk with our arts leaders and talk about marketing and ticket availability. 292-8513 or allsides@wosu.org. And I want to make the point again that each of these three gentlemen and the organizations they represent do, in fact, make a great many discounted tickets available. Certainly, I have seen senior citizen matinees at the opera. I've seen them at Columbus Symphony. I've sat next to many a lady who's unwrapping her tuna fish sandwich during the Sibelius, which is wonderful. She offered me half. This goes on all the time.
Our base ticket price is pretty low in general.
It is, yeah.
I mean, our ticket, the beginning, when you consider it, you're getting live music, which now every production we do has live music, which has been a goal of 16 years to get there for that. And that's something I'm really proud of, because that also speaks to the collaborative aspect, because we're working with musicians in the region. And, live music, live dance, and, usually in a lovely setting. I mean, so it's a pretty expensive.
But I love your theater because you're almost with the dancers. I mean, you can't avoid the story. I like that.
I love that about when we do stuff in Fisher Theater, in our home theater. It's very intimate and it's really right there with you. It's really exciting that way. And then you go to bigger venues and it's exciting in a different way.
Yeah. All right. Any last words about really increasing the accessibility? You're all doing that. And as I look at the three of you, you have all been around long enough to witness the upward trajectory of not only what you offer as how your own companies have grown, but also what are you noticing about audiences specific to Columbus?
Yeah,
Steve?
Well, I was speaking about the now thing. The social media has changed things enormously. If you want to get the best deal on a ticket to CATCO, you should become a friend of us on Facebook, because a lot of the offers are pushed that way.
The social media thing is absolutely the center of it now, yeah. I think. I mean, and it's really caused all of us, I think, to pivot around and figure out our marketing strategies in new ways. Although I'll tell you the one thing. Shout out to Justin at Subway. And why do I say this? The guy who makes my Subway sandwich in the morning, I was in there and he's, what are you doing? I'm going to go on the radio. And so he couldn't believe it. And then I said, well, I told him all about the program, and he changed the station in the Subway, and he's listening to the show. Now, why do I bring that
Jason,
up?
Jason, God love you.
Yeah, Justin,
listen,
yes.
Justin, God
right.
love you too.
But that's about talking to people. Mm-hmm. That's about listening and talking and being on the ground and really getting out there and saying, hey, yeah, always saying, the arts are right here. The arts are right here. The arts are right here. And they're part of your daily life.
Right. And it's not saying, we open tonight in capital letters. Right. It's really providing access to what the process is.
Right.
We don't really open. We're always there.
You're right. We're always
there. But you are opening tonight.
We are opening tonight.
That's right.
We have capital letters.
We have a call from Doris. Hello, Doris. Doris, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm one of the senior little old white-haired ladies that come to all these performances. I just love it. But I must say, we would like to have a little better seating at the Rife. It's very difficult on the first floor going. There's nothing to hold on to except the seat.
You can hold on to Stephen Anderson. He'll be there. You can
hold
on to him.
Stephen Anderson is wonderful. I have row seat, front row seats at the CADCO.
Okay.
But we love the senior thing, but we all complain about the Rife. Uh-huh. And, you know, going down the island, a southern is a delight. You have that railing there, and I find that the some of the theaters there's no help going down.
No, I agree with you, and it's something that we're really concerned about. And the physical plant at the Rife Center is something we're concerned about, as well as parking.
Yeah, and the folks at the Rife have been great with working with us, both of the the Capitol and the studios, and
wonderful that day that the snow was piled up, and who was at I can't remember what it was, but the people on staff at the building came out and helped us off our buses.
They're
wonderful.
Great. Yeah,
they're great.
And I love the staff, but it's the building I know is a bit of a problem. But if something could be done, maybe just have like a little railing on the end of the road to help us down. But I go to all these things and I love it. I think I'm very lucky to live in Columbus.
Thank you so much for your call, Doris. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. You know, I had a thought. Why don't you get a bunch of teenagers and pay them $2 to like at a wedding to be ushers down the aisle?
Our apprentices do that.
They do. Yeah, I know they do. Yeah, because they helped me one day. Up the stairs there, so I was very grateful that. We have 4 minutes left, and I want each of you to make sure that you're going to let people know exactly what's going on. Rich, there's so much going on. Let's start with you.
Yeah, I mean, we've naturally, the best part with Kappa is go onto the website, www.kappa.com, and just hit our schedule. There's a calendar in there. We've got so many events with 9 or 10 theaters, so many different organizations, so that's the best thing. And as Stephen mentioned, hit our Facebook page. We've got a lot of offers that go up on that. And one quick thing I want to throw in is I would love to thank the generous sponsors that are always out there for us, like PNC with this program and many other programs, because without them, these would not exist. So,
thank you for that. Stephen Anderson?
Just very quickly, next year, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels starting in July, followed by My Name is Asher Lev, co-produced with the Jewish Center and Gallery Players. And then, of course, as you mentioned, Masterclass, a new play by Herb Brown called The Final Table. And closing up with Murder for Two, which is a two-hander where both actors play the piano.
And Tim Veach, Columbus Dance Theater.
The list, Pleasure with Pain, April 12th. It's a benefit with food. And
you could market that in all kinds of different ways.
And then we actually have a wonderful program of students dancing at the Lincoln Theater on April 27th. Then we have our Oliver Twist show May 30th and 31st. Then we have the presentation with First Community Church on June 1st. And actually, I have two dancers dancing with the New Albany Symphony on April 6th.
Because I'm the MC.
Are you the MC?
Yes, I am.
Terrific.
I'm going to dance too. That'll clear. The room.
So those are
nicely.
Things we got coming up in the next month. Good grief.
For go on. I want to thank you all. Tim Veach of the Columbus Dance Theater, a marvelous friend of the community, and to me and to this program. Thank you, Tim. Rich Corsi, thank you so much for really being the voice of wisdom in programming in the arts and culture in Central Ohio at Kappa. And our own Stephen Anderson, who is Maria Callas, and he is the head of CADCO and really makes great theater available to everybody from 2 years old to 200 years old. I thank all three of you for really doing what you do to make Columbus a great place to live, and to all of you for listening. I'm Christopher Purdy. The All Staff Sides includes producer Michael DeBonis, associate producer Amy Jurevich, assistant producer Rachel Quimby, production assistants from Olivia Rojas, Justin English, Emmy Beach, Julia Hyder, and Leticia Wiggins, with video production by Rich Karsminski and Amber Karsminski. And thank you, Amy Jurevich. Thank you all for listening. Good afternoon.